Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
I want to start with three ideas. Three ideas. Hopefully they'll make some sense in 15 minutes. We'll see what happens, right? First idea is an idea I got from the internet. So that means it's by definition true, right? Has to be true. There are countries in the world where monkeys are captured for meat. And there's this story that one of the ways they capture monkeys is by taking a coconut, drilling out the contents of it, getting it out, and placing a hole in the coconut large enough for the monkey to put its hand into. But once the monkey makes a fist, it can't take its hand out. Then attaching a string to this coconut, and then putting some food inside the coconut, and then waiting for the monkey to come along. Monkey comes along, sees the food inside the coconut, puts his hand inside the coconut, and the hunter starts to reel them in. And all they've got to do to get away is to let go of the food, let it go, and they could skittle off free. So all they have to do to be free is to let it go. Second idea. 1976 movie called Taxi Driver has a hero in it called Travis Bickle. And Travis is just a little crazy. Is that a fair statement? Those who remember the movie, just a little not quite all there. And one of the scenes in the movie creates this famous dialogue. It's one of the American Film Institute's 100 most memorable lines of all time. And Travis stands in front of the mirror, and he's talking to the mirror, and he keeps saying, "You talking to me? You talking to me? Well, I'm the only one here, so you got to be talking to me." Now, I'm not sure everybody's reaction when Leanne read to you that passage there, but my guess is that a couple of you, maybe even four or five of you, maybe even 40 or 50 of you, said to yourself, "Whew, I'm off the hook today. Because he's going to talk about rich people, and I'm not rich. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you, and God is talking to you." Now, the first version of this sermon did not have this third part in it, so I was giving the practice version of it to Marilyn yesterday. She says, "You need to include this," so I'm including it. Is that smart on my part? Okay, yeah. Laying up my treasures in heaven. Yeah. Now, Rob's heard this. This is the third time Rob's heard this sermon. Now, Marilyn's second favorite preacher that she listens to on a regular basis. That's my ego showing through. Actually, I think Chuck Swindoll's her favorite preacher. I'm her second or 20th favorite preacher. And Chuck Swindoll has a book out, and in the book, the title of the book is called "It's Always Something." It's always something. Now, all three of those ideas are relevant to the passage that Leanne just read to us. For example, the young man comes in and he appears to have it all together. He appears to have it all in one bag. He's been blessed. He's rich. By definition, he must be well off. It was so funny on Friday night. I got to this portion of the sermon, and there was a gentleman sitting right about here, and he began to utter expletives at this point. It was bull, okay? And I mean, he's homeless. And I was actually getting to the punchline of the fact that this was not the way God wanted it to be, but I couldn't even get there. I couldn't even get there. He was convinced that I was about to honor the rich. Well, in Jesus' world and in our world, we often do a certain amount of honoring the rich. They're rich. They have to have it all in one bag, right? And Jesus is saying, well, no, not exactly. And then the other thing about this young man is that he appears to be someone who seems to understand that following the rules are important. Now, I'm not even remotely suggesting here that you guys run out of here and decide to not stop at stop signs and not stop at red lights and drive 85 miles an hour in a 35 mile an hour zone. But Jesus is to some extent saying the rules aren't everything. The rules are not the total package. I mean, let's remember what Leanne read to you there. For example, Jesus says, have you kept the commandments? And then he goes to the commandments that are about relationship with others. Murder, steal, adultery. Throws in one that's about defrauding. That's not actually in the Ten Commandments, but this guy's got it all in one bag. So he obviously doesn't covet things that other people have. Couldn't possibly covet that, want that. And the young man appears to operate from a set of principles. Well, I've done that. I've done that. Can you just hear the pride? Can you hear the buttons popping off his shirt at that particular moment? He's got it all together. He's rich, and he follows the rules. And then Jesus says, but I'm going to invite you to let it go. I'm going to invite you to let something go. And so for this circumstance, he looks over at him and says, now what I want you to do, so I want you to go and take all your possessions, and I want you to go sell them and give it to the church. Isn't that what he said church, right? No? He didn't say, he said give it to the poor. I figured the praise band would give me a punchline back there. You guys heard it twice. It wouldn't have been great if Jesus had said, take all the money and go out and sell it and bring it back in and give it to the church. Wouldn't that have been cool? Courtney, your job would have been easy. Kathy, your job would have been easy. Wow. What an easy job you'd have had. Right? But he didn't. He said, what I want you to do is I want you to take it and let it go. And I want you to let it go in such a way that you're actually accomplishing the essence of what it is that the Ten Commandments are all about. Those six commandments are about being in a relationship with the other. And then he says, and I want you to come and do that. That will improve your relationship on those six that are out there about being in a relationship with people. But then he comes back and says, and follow me. And follow me. So it goes back to the other four about being in relationship with God and honoring God. You can't get an A in commandment following by just being only in relationship with God or only in relationship with your fellow human creature. Four of one, six of the other. It's hard to get an A by only focusing on one of those. Jesus is saying you've got to do them both. So Jesus is saying, let it go. Let go of those things that keep you from being in relationship with me. Let go of those things that keep you from being in relationship with those that are around you. And this kid seems to get it. He sort of has a, you're talking to me kind of response. You're talking to me? And he seems to be very disappointed with that. And he wanders away. Why? Because he has so much. Then the conversation turns to the disciples, and Jesus turns around to the disciples and says, now, it's really hard for a rich person to get into heaven. It's really, really hard for somebody there. And that goes thud. It just goes thud because they're sitting there going like, well, hold it. In our world, this rich guy was born with, has all this riches, and so he clearly has God's blessing on him. So if he can't get into heaven, what about for the rest of us? And so in the silence there, Jesus says it again. He says it again to them to try to remind them of what it is. He's sort of saying, I want you to let something go. I want you to let something go. And yes, I am talking to you. I am talking to you. Well, Peter, good old Peter, our friend Peter, Who here can't relate to Peter? I mean, he's us. Peter says, you know, I don't get it. I've let go of the fishing business. I've let go of all this stuff that I was doing before. And so how is it that I'm not going to find heaven? How is it that I'm not going to find the kingdom of God? And Jesus says, because you have followed me. Because you have followed me. Because you have let it go. Because you knew that I was talking to you. And because you didn't say, it's always something. I'm going to honor you. Now, I don't know if you paid attention to what Leanne was reading there. Because she went through all these good things that were going to happen. And all these wonderful things were going to happen. And then she got something that many of you may not pay close attention to. And she said, and persecution. Did you guys hear that? And persecution. Sometimes we have this idea that being a follower of Jesus Christ in the world is going to lead to everything just being wonderful and fantastic. And it will. But not in the kind of traditional sense that we sometimes think. This idea of the fact that we're going to have it all in one bag like this young man. Tom, the ophthalmologist in the movie The Way, in the beginning of the movie, we'll probably come back to some of the beginning of the movie next week is the last time we show some excerpt from that. But he thinks he has it all in one bag. He thinks he's got it all together. And then he's called to take this journey, this pilgrimage, because his son is killed. And he's going to walk the way. He's going to walk the way of the many pilgrims who've walked this journey for 1,000 years. He's going to try to walk across northern Spain. And the first night out there, he has to sort of deal with people snoring and belching and making other human noises that they might make in the course of the evening with people you've never been around before in your life. And so he gets up in the morning and he encounters a lady who lives at the first stop on this pilgrimage, the very first stop. And here's that encounter. Martin Sheen in that scene, for me, his face just seems to express embarrassment on behalf of her, that she's in the midst of all of these riches, this opportunity to have her soul regenerated and have her soul refreshed, to let go of some of the things that are crippling her and holding her back. And all she can do is offer an idea of the fact that it's always something that keeps me from making that journey, from making that trip. What are we to take from today's reading? I would suggest to us that there's three very important ideas. First idea is the fact that God has been generous with us. And it isn't always this idea of generosity in terms of financial resources. You could hear this passage and think that Jesus is talking to him because he's rich. But all of us are rich. All of us are rich in many, many things. And what Jesus sort of welcomes and invites, what Jesus invites all of us to do is let go of those things that cause us not to be able to see how rich we are. The second thing for us is that there's this natural inclination for us to believe that a lot of the conversations like this, that Jesus is focused on others. The other. No. This young rich man has to finally figure out that Jesus is talking to him. Peter and the disciples have to figure out that Jesus is talking to them. And they don't seem to get it. They don't seem to, any of them, really understand the generosity of God's grace. And they just want to sort of get hung up on their values of what the world looks like. Finally, perhaps the most important is this idea of being willing to recognize that we are always willing to offer some rationale, some reason of why we can't journey on that road with Jesus. When I was young, I was too busy. When I'm old, I was too tired. But my guess is that just as she had two reasons, she probably had four or six or eight if you really pressed her. If there's 200 of us here, there's probably 20,000 reasons as to why it is that we can offer up to God. We're not going to make that journey. I've got so much. I've given up so much. You can hear that in the passage. What Jesus invites us to recognize is to know that we're invited to let go of those things that separate us from God. That Jesus invites us to know that, yes, He is indeed talking to us. And yes, it's an opportunity for us to stop saying that it's always something that will keep us from making that journey. Dale MacArthur was the pastor here in the early 1980s here at Hilltop. I think he helped bring Hilltop out of the shopping center into this part, into the fellowship hall, which was the worship space in those days. My understanding is that almost every sermon he ever gave, he would get to a place at the end of the sermon where he'd ask two questions. He'd sort of turn around to the group and he would say, "If not now, when? If not you, who?"
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.